Good morning, everyone. I will call the hybrid meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee for April the 28th to order. This hearing is taking place pursuant of Rule 10.01 and can also be viewed through the House webcast. Ms. Anna, please take the roll for attendance.
Chair Moran.
Present.
Vice Chair Olson.
Present.
Representative Garofalo.
Present.
Representative Albright.
Present.
Representative Becker Finn.
Present.
Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Representative Eklund.
Present.
Representative Hanson, excused. Representative Hassan.
Present.
Representative Hertas, excused. Representative Hornstein, excused. Representative Johnson.
Present.
Representative Kreshaw, excused. Representative Liebling.
Present.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Mariani. Representative Marquardt.
Present.
Representative Miller.
Present.
Representative Nash. Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Knorr, excused. Representative O'Neill.
Present.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, present.
Representative Petersburg.
Here.
Representative Pinto.
Present.
Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, present.
Representative Schultz.
Present.
Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin.
Sundin, present.
Representative Mariani.
He will be here later, hopefully.
Okay. And Representative Nash. Okay, and he'll be here later also. Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
So a quorum is present. So our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from yesterday, April 27th. Representative Olson, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
So any questions or comments about the minutes? Corrections? If not, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So we have four bills on the agenda today, and we need to be done by 10:45. First up is Jess Hanson, Representative Hanson. So House File 3845, which establishes the Office of Foster Youth Ombudsperson. Welcome to the committee, Representative Hanson.
Madam Chair, before we begin, can I just...
Yes, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies. Madam Chair, Representative Hanson, is this your first time before this committee?
It is the first time in any in-person committee, so thank you.
So, Madam Chair, Representative Hanson. Obviously, is this the... DFL needs to do a better job of orientating their members. Where are the treats?
You should have let me know ahead of time.
Well, I don't think that's my response. Madam Chair, we can table the bill.
We'll work that. We'll
come
right.
Back next week.
We're out to the store. I come back. Well, I do want to welcome you to the House Ways and Means Committee.
Yes.
That tradition, we'll hold you to that for another time.
Next time.
Yeah, for next time. So members, this bill came to us from the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee. Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move the bill for Representative Hanson?
Yeah. I move that House File 3845 be recommended for placement on the General Register.
So I also understand that there's an author's amendment that you would like to adopt.
So
Vice Chair Olson?
Apologies, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move the amendment H3845A4.
All right, so Ms. Hanson, can you please explain the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. The amendment before you today gets the bill into the shape that we would like it to be in after conversations with the other body, other stakeholders, and also to make sure that our appropriation matches the fiscal note.
Okay, so any questions to the A4 amendment? Seeing no questions, all in favor of the A4 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So Representative Hanson, please tell us about your bill as amended with a focus on the fiscal impact.
Great. Well, thank you again for having me here today. HF 3845 seeks to create an office for a youth foster ombudsperson. Our child protection system is one of the most traumatizing in the nation, and children in foster care face critically important issues that need our attention and action. Kids in foster care deserve to be served and protected like any other children in our state, but they do not always have the resources or avenues for intervention when they face abuse or neglect at the hands of our very own system. Navigating the foster care system alone is a challenging task, and without the appropriate tools and advocates in place, we will continue to allow the cycles of hurt and trauma to continue. Every kid deserves to have a caring adult in their corner, and it's not the case for many kids in our foster care system. This office aims to provide oversight for the systems that are tasked with protecting Minnesota's children from harm and to create a pathway to adequately track the issues that are affecting young people in foster care in Minnesota. As it stands, there are no organizations or entities that track complaints or common concerns that arise for youth in foster care. And while we, of course, have some data that gives us glimpses into our system, we lack the ability to make data-informed decisions without more information. Establishing this office will promote equity and equal opportunity for more of the foster population, and this office will improve the Minnesota child welfare system by also addressing the intersecting issues that youth in foster care often face, such as discrimination, neglect, housing stability, homelessness, and substance abuse. Although creating this office will not address all of the needs of the youth in foster care, this office will make sure that more youth in foster care have more access to the critical resources that they need and deserve.
Well, thank you. This is a really important issue to me, so I just want to thank you for bringing this forward. Members, the fiscal note to this bill is in the members' packet for you to view. And for clarity, Ms. Adrian, this bill falls into the other bill category?
Yes, Madam Chair and members. This amount will come out of the line that was on the budget spreadsheet that is listed as claims and others. So it is accounted for.
So any questions? Ms. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm looking at the fiscal note, and I see that the fiscal cost is contained in the governor's office. But we're standing up an ombudsman position. And can you tell me what other ombudsmans are contained within the governor's office and not with the agency specifically?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. The A4 amendment actually moved this under the Office of Administration.
Ah, okay. Thank you. I missed that when you were speaking.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that at the beginning. Thank you.
Very important. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Nash.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. To the author, in your amendment on lines, we'll start at 2.9, maybe drop down to 2.12. In your sentence that starts with before finalizing a conclusion, it's before finalizing a conclusion or recommendation that expressly or implicitly criticizes an agency. What does that mean? What does the criticism of an agency have to do with the output from an ombudsperson as to whether they move forward on something? Because, Chair Nelson will tell you, I criticize agencies all the time. In fact, I've made a sport out of it, some might say. But I'm just trying to figure out what does that language mean in this A4 amendment?
Thank you, Representative Nash. I do have some of the advocates here who have worked with the other body on this. This language did come from the other body. They had a very strong preference for having this language included.
Yeah.
And so in the interest of making sure we can have a concurrence and the interest of making sure we're having a good, strong bill, I have a testifier that can answer any other questions you might have about that, too. Okay. So we have another advocate who's coming, who's been in direct conversations.
Madam Chair, maybe when that person shows up, we can move to other questions if there are any.
Absolutely, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Moran, Representative Hansen, thank you for this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who don't know, for the first 2 months of my life, I was in a foster home. I was adopted at 2 months of age, so these bills I take particular interest in.
Yeah.
I understand the need for this. Sometimes I have trouble growing government. I have trouble with ombudsmen persons because we've had some in the past that have overstepped their bounds,
mm-hmm.
and it's real tough to deal with that. I've also, as a police officer, had to bring kids to foster care. Generally, when we do that, when we see the kids a week or two later in court, see the difference in the kids. 99% of our foster care homes are fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, just like everywhere, we're human and we have the bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that the, when we set this up, the ombuds person doesn't go at, only goes after the bad apples and doesn't make it to a point where we lose our good foster care program. Sure. So we have to have the right balance. And I'm glad that in your amendment, you have general reports. But I think you need to change where those reports go. I know the other body has a tough time leaving our great bills alone. They tweak a word here or there all the time and send it back. And I think we need to do that with this bill. I don't think those reports should go to the governor. They should go to the chairs and the minority leads of the committees of the legislature so we can see what's going on. So we need to make some changes. I think that's where those reports should go, so we have an idea what's going on. If we need to fix something in our foster care program, we should be the ones making those decisions, not the governor. So please consider doing that if this bill comes to the floor.
I really do like that suggestion, Representative Johnson. We do need to be informed about what's happening with our children. Absolutely. I see you, Representative. Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like me to reframe my question for the testifier?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to the testifier, I'm on the line starting 2.1 or 2.9, and we'll take it all the way to 2.17. The question that I have, and I think this is an important bill, and I want to make sure that foster kids are well taken care of, but the devil is always in the details. On 2.10, the sentence, it says, before finalizing a conclusion or recommendation that expressly or implicitly criticizes an agency, facility, program, or any person, the ombudsperson shall consult with the governor and the agency. My question is this. Is this an opportunity for the governor to head off criticism that may be put out in the public? Because that's kind of what it reads like. And if we're all about transparency, to Representative Johnson's point, we want an active and lively discussion to be out there to say, hey, everything's great, or this is completely screwed up and we don't want the governor, whomever that may be, to be able to head this off at the pass and not allow the criticism to come out into the open. Am I wrong in my reading of this, or is that kind of what this does?
Well, welcome to the Ways and Means Committee. Please introduce yourself and respond to the question.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Wong Murphy. I'm the founder and executive director of a nonprofit called Foster Advocates. And to answer your question, this is language that came from the Senate. It's also language that was consulted with Minnesota Koji, a data privacy and rights group and government accountability watchdog. Additionally, this is language that is included in every other ombuds language. It just gives the agencies a chance to then respond to what the ombudsperson is saying about them, and then issue a report to create that dialogue. That way, there's an ombuds report, and then there is a agency response to it attached. This is language that is included in the ombudspersons for corrections, ombudsperson for mental health, ombudsperson for families, ombudspersons for healthcare, and various other actors. It's not something that we added because we just wanted to. It's language that is included to allow for a robust conversation, given that agencies are directly related to this work. And, as someone that is extremely supportive of having an ombuds for foster youth, we do not have someone looking out for them, especially when the state is a potentially wrongful actor in this case. I think it is really important to have the agencies in a meaningful way explain their rationale. And this gives them that opportunity to do that as well, which allows for conversation and accountability. Because if they don't send a report, that says something. But then it also forces, I think, in my opinion, the agencies then to issue a response instead of just ignoring it. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree. My time here at the legislature, and again, I pick on Representative Nelson, he'll tell you that I want to force conversation because people typically scatter like cockroaches when the lights come on, when you begin shining a light on bad actors or just lax behavior. And my question about this is not to talk you out of it or to try to remove it is to strengthen it, to say, I would almost rather say that, express there that the governor doesn't, or that an agency doesn't get to have any override on that, that they are informed at the same time that it is released or something to that effect. Because I get so tired of lax behavior being explained away long before it ever actually gets released into the community of people who will read these reports and who will read these things. It's so frustrating to see stuff like this. And for those of you that remember, I was an abused kid, and I want stuff like this to come out. You know, Representative Johnson just shared his, we want stuff like this to come out. And if it's something that needs to be out there, don't give it any opportunity to get sidetracked into some bureaucratic back door into a drawer that is behind a door that says beware of the leper. We want it to come out into the light early. So that's my question is, I was concerned by the language and I want it to actually just be really strong because these are our kids that we're talking about. So that's the gist behind my question.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, for Ms. Adrians, if this is, so which committee target is this appropriation being carried under?
I'm sorry, Ms. Adrians.
Thanks, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. We had a listing of other bills, and so at the bottom of that, there was, I'm sorry that I don't have my sheet in front of me, but there was a line for claims and other bills, and there was about $3 million there, so this will come out of that bucket of money. And I'll update the spreadsheet so we can see which bills are being listed above it.
Okay. Madam Chair, Ms. Adrians, so the A4 amendment increased the appropriation, so that comes from that area as well, and there's space on that still?
Yes. Representative, I'm sorry, Ms. Adrians.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, Representative Garofalo, that's right.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Chair, and to the author of the bill, with regards to the responsibilities that are being tasked out, do we have to hire new people to do this? I mean, are there agency loans that can be done? Can we do policy and perhaps repurpose existing state employees to perform these functions?
Ms. Representative Hansen or Mr. Murphy?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Garofalo. This will increase a few employees, and I think that's important. I think it is important to have dedicated staff, though the office has been modeled off of other ombudspersons, like you've already heard. And we are looking to make sure that space can be shared, so keep some of those costs down and other things to make sure that the money for this office goes right back to kids as directly as possible.
Representative Garofalo.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, thank you. And so again, I agree with the stated purposes of this bill, as Representative Nash and Representative Johnson have talked about. However, I do have concerns about adding additional FTEs right now, so I'll be voting no in the committee today. But I would like to see if there's additional conversations we can have to repurpose existing staff and to use our existing state statutes to provide these resources. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for being here today.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, thanks. I really just want to, Representative Johnson pretty much said what I said, but I want to reemphasize it and maybe say it a little bit differently. I hear that it came from the Senate, because that was going to be one of my questions, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. But whether it be through conference or you have meetings to come up with a concurrent, my really bear down on making sure that we have the finer details of this where everyone's on the same page, because I want to be able to support this, and I don't want to get hung up on a technicality, but a technicality that I have to be hung up on, if that makes any sense. So this looks pretty good. I think there's some things that need to be ironed out in it, and I just, I think it's in good enough shape to move on from here, but I really, really work with the other body and make sure that we get this and the other stakeholders that are in this thing and just get it to where it needs to be. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Pinto.
There we go. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I just want to add to Representative Hansen's point that the child protection system that we have is enormously complicated and enormously challenging for young people involved. And so I guess just to the concern about adding someone new for this role, part of the point is to have someone who's looking at these issues from the outside and able to act with a certain measure of independence on behalf of the young person. And so I want to, I guess I want to encourage that. And I also, we had the discussion earlier about the need to get agency input, et cetera. And I guess I'm thinking about some of the OLA reports or the OLA reports that we receive from our Office of Legislative Auditor and how when we receive those, there is a statement from an agency that describes sort of a, you know, their perspective on the recommendations and the thoughts from the auditor. It doesn't mean that they're taking away from or preventing something from coming out. I think that the consultation in here makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate Representative Hansen's work and the advocates as well. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, I'm looking at the language here, and just help me understand. I'm looking for what the agencies may or must provide in terms of information. And could you clarify if that's an obligation or it's just a permissive opportunity for them?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Albright. The information that needs to be shared needs to be the information that keeps kids safe. It needs to be the information that continues to listen to them and give them someone to have in their corner. And so I think there's going to be certain data that may be shared, and there's certain data that must be shared. I don't think that there is a black and white answer to your question.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, in one of the sections, it talks about providing any notations to the legislature, or not just to the agencies, but I don't see in the bill anywhere where you're suggesting or urging them to send any type of report to the legislature. Could you define why or why not that isn't included in your bill?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Albright. At this point, that's not in the bill. We've had a lot of discussions between a lot of legislators from both sides of the aisle about this. I don't disagree that I think the legislature should get a report. As many of you know, I've been carrying a number of bills this year to address the problems in our child welfare system. If you missed the Mother Jones article in January that identified how bad our system is right now, I think I would encourage you to go check that out. To Representative Johnson and Representative Nash's point, that there are holes in the system and that there are some critical opinions coming down about changes we need to make. And so in order for us to continue to make those changes, we need people like us to be able to see those issues, see where they are, and work hard on them. So is a report to the legislature a good idea? Probably. And at this point, I think we should get the office up and running, and then we should consider, you know, continuing to look at the data they come back with and being very proactive, because that's what our kids, especially foster kids, need.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that point, Representative Hansen, if you look on page 3, and just for your consideration, under Section 4, Item 3, it says, provided that the governor or legislature may request and receive information. Typically, I know that's permissive in terms of if we want to know, we can ask for it. Mm-hmm. But to your very point, we may not be receiving that which we're looking for based upon what the ombudsman person may or may not feel is appropriate. And so there's that tension,
sure.
If you understand where I'm getting at. I'm just wondering if you might look at that language. Mm-hmm. This is an important bill, and I think my comments should be held in support of the bill. But that concerns me that we're in a position where we're not being provided with it. We're tasked with asking for it. We're providing the opportunity. I think it's incumbent upon the ombudsperson to provide, in response to that opportunity, a report. And maybe that's where you take a look at that. And finally, Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me, Representative Hansen, I'm looking at the bill and inclusive of the amendment, and it seems to me like the ombudsperson is really responsible for investigating parents. as opposed to child protection services. Could you explain why the ombudsperson is really tasked with that as opposed to child protective services?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Albright. I think that it is important that everybody be investigated. I think that if there is a child who's not safe, the primary caregiver should be the first person that we probably talk to. I'll let Huang maybe answer this a little bit more in depth as somebody who's in this work. But to your previous point, I also would like to say this is why it's important that we have very strong public-private partnerships with our advocates and people like Huang and his organization who are working on this, because it's not just the ombudsperson who will be looking at this. I have no doubt in my mind that Huang and a number of the kids and youth and other people invested in improving our system will also be keeping a watch on the ombudsperson as well. And I think that there will be a really great relationship there to continue to address the issues. And so, Huang, I'll let you answer this.
Mr. Murphy.
Thank you. And I really appreciate the question. One clarifying point here is that when you're in foster care, that means you're in out-of-home placement. At that point, you are in the state's custody. For many of these young people, that means that you're going to be a ward of the state. When you're in foster care, we're your kids. You're the parents. That is the official capacity of this ombudsperson, is to then look out for young people once they are already in foster care. This is not investigating families and parents before our child protection gets involved. This is making sure then as a county, as a state, that we do right by young people. What happens when a family isn't doing right by its children? Child Protective Services is supposed to intervene. But what happens when Child Protective Services isn't doing right by children? We're asked to hold ourselves accountable, and we're failing every day. 3% of foster youth go on to college. If that were true for our own children, we would be appalled. 50% of us are homeless within 6 months after turning 18 and aging out. We can't look at that and think that we're doing a good job parenting our kids.
Well, Mr. Murphy, I hear your passion, and I know your story. This is a really, really important issue for me. I've carried many bills around foster care, out-of-home placement, the impact that it definitely has on Black children, Native American kids, disproportionately. So this is, you know, I'm all in. I'm reading. But unfortunately, this is the fiscal committee, and we're going to have to focus on the fiscal part of this and get this moving. And I know Representative Nash and I think Miller, you guys have heard this, maybe?
Say what else?
Maybe Nash and Albright, I'm sorry, Representative Miller. So we're gonna refocus ourselves around the fiscal impact that this bill has, and then we're gonna move it and go for a vote. So Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll use your analogy, and please understand, I think, you know, this is a shared responsibility, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic. But to use your analogy in terms of parents, the state being the parents of these kids, I don't want to hear from one of the other kids about what's happening to my kid. I want to know directly. I don't want to hear through the neighborhood that something's happening to my kid. I want to have a direct line. So the consequence for the financial obligation of this amount of money is important. And, Madam Chair, I think the latitude given is the money is important, but the relationship in terms of how that money is dedicated towards a proposition of making sure that there is a direct line between the ombudsperson and the people affected, whether it be at the legislature or others, I think is where I would encourage you to look at strengthening those relationships so that the financial responsibility that we are extending to our kids is assured that it's well invested and well intended. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, I want to say this is a really good bill, and it's been heard in state government finance, human services finance, and judiciary finance, which, as you noted, many, many people here on Ways and Means have heard this bill before. And nobody filed an amendment asking for a report. I do not hear the chief author saying she would be opposed to that. She sounds open to working on that. And so I think it's a little bit, I guess I'll use the, it's interesting that we've had this much discussion about this piece of it when there was no amendment filed, when many of us were well aware of this bill existing for a while here. And I think the idea that when we have a surplus like we do, if we can't come together on agreeing that $650,000 is not an amount we're willing to be supportive of to make sure kids are safe, then I really don't know. It's interesting. And so I would hope folks can support this bill and move it forward. It is about protecting kids. It is a small price to pay to make sure that some of these kids who are the most vulnerable young people in our communities have the options and the ability to be safe. And so I thank you, Representative Hansen, for your work on this, as well as the advocates. This is a good bill, and I hope that everybody can support it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, this list is getting mighty long, and this bill has been heard in so many committees that you guys are a part of. And we're going to go through this quickly. I have three folks here on the list here. We're going to stick to the fiscal impact that the governor's office will incur by having this bill before us. Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm asking questions that came in the A4 amendment. Didn't have that in the bill before. So I think it's completely within the confines of our committee's purview to ask a question in an amendment that comes in our committee. Have I seen this previously? Yeah. But this wasn't in it. So a question that gets generated as a result of an amendment that's being brought to this committee, I think, is something that we should welcome if we're doing our committee work properly. I'm not saying I don't support the bill, but if we're bringing an amendment that introduces new language into the bill, into our committee, why wouldn't we want to be able to allow and even welcome conversation from clearly a member, myself, who's asking a question to try to help strengthen the bill? I don't need to be lectured by people to say that's a bad idea. I'm trying to help the bill, and it's a fair question for me to say, this came forward in an amendment. What does it do? Thank you.
Okay. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to just kind of reiterate the same thing that Representative Nash said. When you allow amendments that are not financial or impact financially into the bill, then that should be up for debate. If you're going to keep a debate to only financial matters, then only amendments dealing with financial matters should be brought up before this. Since we have a procedure in which we allow amendments in during hearing in the Ways and Means, then it needs to be have an opportunity for us to talk about them. And it isn't about whether or not the bill, major part of the bill, has been heard or not. What that amendment does oftentimes changes the bill, and then it's a different bill that we need to have a discussion about. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. Hansen, for this bill. Rep. Hansen and I are fellow social workers, and I worked, I don't know if you guys, I've shared this with this committee or not, I've worked for Hennepin County in child protection services for many years, and this bill would help fix a problem that exists. I am super thankful for her bringing this bill, and I want to thank the advocates that are, you know, brought this bill to us. There are in our, you know, child protective system, children who are Black and Brown are disproportionately in the system. I remember in 2010, I believe, Minnesota failed an audit because they had too many children from minority communities or BIPOC communities in the system. And those children need support. Those children need our help. They need a voice. And $650,000 for supporting those children should not even be a questionable ask, in my opinion. And if any of you guys worked in those in that system and saw like the horrors that the children are facing within that system, it's a system that we as a government designed, not specifically the individuals in this committee, but we as a state of Minnesota designed that system. But it's a system that's inadequate and inefficient to meet the needs of children. So I am supporting this, and I want to thank Rep. Hansen for her compassionate approach on this. And I hope you guys can also support. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
I'll be quick, Madam Chair. Listening to some of the debate going from the other side of the aisle, we support this bill. We're trying to make it better. We're trying to make sure that this body gets the information so we can fix problems so they don't happen again. Without reports coming to this body, we don't have that information. We want to do our best to protect our children. Our children are our future. And we want to make sure they're safe. So I want to thank Representative Hansen for bringing this forward. Like I say, we're trying to make this better so we can do better for our kids.
And so with that, I am assured that we are all responding because we want to keep kids safe. You know, and I'm hoping folks don't feel too, put back by thinking someone is lecturing to you. We're here to share information and share our opinions about the bill that is before us. I know for me it was interesting to know, as we talked about the governor getting a report back, that all this bill does is align with all the other language that's currently in law. That's what it does. And I know when we talk about kids being removed from their home, put in foster care, and any abuse that may happen when they are in out-of-home placement is a very sensitive issue. And we don't want to make this political. We want to do what's right on behalf of the children. And so, and I'm sure that's what we all are saying. And that is important, that we always keep them at the forefront, because when they are in out-of-home placement, it is the state responsibility to make sure that they are cared for. And so, seeing no further discussion, Ms. Hansen, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you so much, committee members. I'm just so pleased to see how bipartisan this bill has been here in St. Paul. So many people have come forward to do their part to make this bill what it is in front of you today. And I am looking forward to making it even better. And so I stand in solidarity with Representative Johnson, Representative Nash, Representative Petersburg, Representative Albright, and everybody who's voiced that we want to see a report to the legislature, that we want to do what's best. And I invite you to join me in this work to make sure that we continue to do what's right for our child welfare system and to make it something we can all say we're proud of and that we stand by. So thank you again for your time today, and I appreciate the opportunity.
And I am really enjoying this bipartisan support of this bill on behalf of children. So the motion before us is that House File 3845, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register. Ms. Anna, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas, excused. Representative Hornstein, excused. Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Crenshaw, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Aye.
Miller, aye. Representative Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr, excused. Representative O'Neill?
Aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, aye.
Pulowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. And Representative Mariani? Madam Chair, that is 21 ayes and 1 nay.
There have been 21 ayes and 1 nay. The motion prevails, and House File 3845, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy, for your work. All right, so the next bill up is House File 3768, Representative Cagle on structural settlement. Members, this bill came to us on a motion from the floor on Tuesday. Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move the bill?
Yes, I move that House File 3768 be recommended for placement on the general register.
Well, welcome to the committee, Representative Cagle. I understand that you also have two author's amendments you would like to have offered to get the bill in the shape that you would like to present it. Vice Chair Olson, would you move the DE amendment?
Madam Chair, I move H3768DE4 amendment.
And how about the A1?
And then I also move the A1 amendment to the DE4.
Okay, so thank you. Representative Cagle, can you explain the A1 amendment to the DE4?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe the the amendment to the amendment is just renumbering sections. It was an omission when we were drafting the language.
Okay. Is there any questions to the A1 amendment to the DE4 that's before us?
Do you guys have the A1 amendment?
A1.
Mm-hmm. I have the A1.
Should be A1 to the DE4.
Okay, great, beautiful. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and an amendment to the amendment is adopted. Okay, so the DE4 as amended is before us. Please explain the amendment, Ms. Cagle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So House File 3768 is reforms to our structured settlement purchasing laws. And so when Minnesotans are injured, they're sometimes compensated for their injuries by setting up long-term payments through a structured settlement that is approved by the court. These settlement payments are intended to address ongoing needs for income, losses, medical bills, sometimes long into the future. This kind of came about because of an expose in the Star Tribune, which exposed a problem with our current law by allowing these long-term settlements to be sold to third parties, frequently for a small fraction of their actual worth. The articles pointed out the lack of a clear tool to prevent the types of abuse that have occurred in the past. After working through the fall of 2021 and now all of 2022 with consumer advocates, the attorneys and the annuity insurance companies that create the structured settlements and some structured settlement purchasing companies, we have developed a strong set of consumer protections, clear guidance to the courts, and registration and prohibitive practices for companies that are attempting to purchase these structured settlements in Minnesota. The DE amendment updates and improves our law in several ways. We improve the information that is disclosed to consumers before a transaction, including the financial implications of the transaction, in terms that they can more easily understand. This will now require the court to make a decision and written findings that the transaction is in the best interest of the consumer based on the new and clear factors. These include the ability to meet any financial obligations after a sale of a settlement, if the sale will impact eligibility for public assistance, and the age, maturity, and mental capacity of the person who's proposed to sell their settlement. Currently, the consumers make the decision that the sale is in their best interest, and they are often misled about the long-term financial losses that they face after the sale. The DE amendment allows the court to obtain independent advice about the sale of transactions, which will be paid for by the companies proposing to purchase the settlement. And we mandate that the court obtain independent advice if the proposed sale is for the sale of a minor settlement, or the sale involves someone with an impairment that could make them more susceptible to being abused. The DE also requires companies that want to purchase the settlement in Minnesota to register with the Secretary of State and post bond to pay damages in case they fail to perform their obligations. We will impose a new list of prohibited practices, like preventing constant harassing phone calls to pressure sales, so that these companies can be better held accountable for improper conduct. We need structured settlements to provide for the long-term needs of the injured. These payments prevent the injured person and their family from relying on government assistance and often gives them the means to live independently and with dignity. We do not encourage the sale of structured settlements, but with this bill, we will correct many of the past abuses and make sure any sale is given better scrutiny by the courts, and that the consumer will have much better information about what they're giving up. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the DE-4 amendment as amended? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you're in front of us because you have discovered that there's an appropriation to the Secretary of State's office, and what is that appropriation amount?
Representative
King. Madam Chair and Representative O'Neill, it's about $19,000 with $3,000 ongoing. Mm.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, what does the Secretary of State need that for?
Thank you, Madam Chair. They're starting the registry, so they need to get that registry of these factoring companies up and running. And I have some folks in the audience too if we need more help.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you. I'm sorry. There's a little side conversation. Thank you, Madam Chair. So is this for staff or for IT, or do you have any breakdown? We don't have a fiscal note, otherwise I wouldn't ask, but there's no fiscal note in front of us. So I don't know what, other than it's going to the Secretary of State's office in $19,000, I don't know what it's paying for.
Do we have a testifier representative, Ms. Ng, or?
The Secretary of State office is here, I believe, on the call. But it would be for IT, I believe.
Is there anyone remote who can respond to Representative O'Neill's questions?
Nicole Freeman.
Is Ms. Freeman available? Okay.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My camera is not working right now.
So welcome to the committee. Can you please introduce yourself to us first and then proceed?
Absolutely. My name is Nicole Freeman, Government Relations Director for the Secretary of State's office. The responsibility for our office in this bill is to have the structured settlement it reflects a similar model that is in Louisiana and Georgia, where this legislation is present there as well. So the costs are around creating registries and a mechanism for recording these and tracking all of the files that are required to be given to our office. And so it's a one-time IT cost for that programming, and then the $3,000 is for ongoing maintenance of that system as things change to update these filings.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining what it was for.
Thank you.
I hope, Madam Chair, it would be just helpful to have a fiscal note in front of us. I wouldn't have to ask all
nope,
that stuff.
Thank you. Good question. Thank you. Okay, well, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
we bring IT issues forward and we sprinkle money all over the place for saying, oh, it's just for IT stuff. But we should have a fiscal note, to Representative O'Neill's point, detailing what that is. I mean, I get tired of, there will be a day where I don't harp on IT issues here at the Capitol. Well, maybe I will, yeah. That may never happen, but if we're going to appropriate money for projects within agencies or constitutional offices, you got to do your homework a little bit ahead of time and say what it is, detail what it is, so those of us that work in the IT industry can actually say, oh, good thing, because it may cost money, maybe it doesn't cost money, maybe it doesn't cost as much money, and this is no besmirchment against this bill. I'm just sick and tired of not having the details on things. We are here to make decisions about detailed subjects, and when you say, oh, it's for IT stuff, that's like going to the grocery store and say, you know, I need $100 for things and stuff. It's not good enough. You got to have details. So you're going to vote me down if I make a motion to lay this on the table for lack of a fiscal note, but we really shouldn't send this out of committee. If we're the fiscal, to the lecture I got a minute ago, if we're the fiscal committee, we're about to turn something loose that we don't know what the heck it does. So I leave that possibly to your purview, Madam Chair, to say it should stay here until the fiscal note catches up. And I don't know if that's been requested or we have an idea when it's going to be here. But if we're going to turn things loose, then we should know what it does, particularly since after some of us read the budget resolution from yesterday, things are getting pretty skinny on money that you get to spend. So thank you, Madam Chair.
So we have a fiscal analysis here. Maybe Ms. Adrian can speak to it, because I do want you to know, to have more information.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I apologize, I don't have additional information. There was a fiscal note requested on the bill in its original form, and so that did not have a cost, and so the changes that were done to this do have this cost, and it was through the Secretary of State's office. And we will have a request for a fiscal note in process soon, but we don't have a completed fiscal note.
I'm going to do a double check here, Representative Nash, and
Madam
see
Chair.
If Ms. Ng have any response for us.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I guess I'll just say no one casually picks $19,000 out of the air. It's like, oh, I'll need a couple of 20s and a 10. There was a reason that was chosen. I'm sure there is a definitive opportunity for us to figure out what that is. I'm not trying to be obstructionist. I'm just saying that the process is the process. And you talked about it a few minutes ago. We're the fiscal committee. We should know. I mean, respectfully, my bill came here because it had a $3,000 cost, and that's fine. But we're talking $19,000 now, and we don't know what it does. So, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Nash, we have a fiscal note for the Senate file, if that would help, because that language, the registration language came from the Senate file. And so it is done for the Senate file. If you want to take a look at this, you're more than welcome to.
So we do have something.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
Madam Chair.
Representative Pinto.
I believe Ms. Freeman's been trying to raise her hand to answer the question.
Okay, Ms. Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Representative Cagle just covered Senate File 3636. We completed a fiscal note, and so through that process was the analysis that got us to that $19,000. So there's further details of, you know, exactly what it would be and what the components of the IT projects are in there. It starts on page, in our assumptions, page 8. That's helpful to get people there quicker.
Well, thank you, Ms. Freeman. You know, this bill, we can also get that and have it prepared for you on the House floor, for us on the House floor, too. Just move it out of here and have that physically for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you obviously get to do what you would choose with this, because we don't have the votes to prevent that. But the the precedent being set is we're going to move a bill out of committee, and I'm supportive of it, but we're going to move a bill out of committee that there's a fiscal note for the Senate, but the members of the House committee don't have it. How do we make an informed decision to say good bill, good move, if we don't have it?
Representative.
That's a failure of bringing a bill into committee that doesn't have the fiscal component when it's the last fiscal committee on the line of the train. And resolving it on the floor is just sloppy. So I would encourage you, Madam Chair, to hold this in committee until the fiscal note catches up. We've got time. This isn't an omnibus bill. You've got time to still get this to rules and the general register. But if you want to tell us one bill ago that we're the fiscal committee and that we can only ask fiscal questions, well, my fiscal question is, where is the fiscal note and what does this do?
Okay. Well, Representative Stevenson. Petersburg.
thank you, Madam Chair.
Trying to move us on a little bit here.
Madam Chair, in fairness, they could pass as twins.
So, Representative Petersburg,
So the question is about a fiscal note, and at least we ought to hold this bill back until we can get copies of this Senate fiscal note.
Why don't we do that? I think that is an awesome idea, Representative Petersburg. So we're going to lay this on the table until after we hear from Representative Stevenson, until we get the physical piece in front of you. Okay. So why don't we do that? I see we have Representative Stevenson who is here. So members, the next two bills up are Chair Stevenson's bill. We'll take up House File 778. Regarding the sports betting bill first. Welcome to the committee, Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair, Vice Chair Olson, you have some motions?
I do, Madam Chair. So I move that House File 778 be recommended for placement on the general register, and I also move the A13 amendment.
Thank you. Chair Stevenson, please explain the A13 amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, the A13 amendment changes some appropriations language related to the regulation of sports betting. Essentially, it makes the bill entirely self-sufficient and pays for the regulation out of the underlying the tax revenue generated by the bill. That was always the intent. As the bill was moving through committee, I always said that we would do 10% of the revenue would go towards that. But once we got a clear understanding of how much it would cost from the fiscal note, instead of doing a percent of the tax revenue, we're doing a fixed appropriation out of the special revenue account. With the fixed revenue, then we change the other allocations to percentages after taking the regulatory costs off the top.
Okay, are there any questions on the A13 amendment? Seeing no questions, the A13 amendment is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Okay, so House File 778 as amended is before us. Please tell us about your bill with a focus on the fiscal impact.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 778 legalizes sports betting in Minnesota. Many of you have seen this bill before because it has been well-traveled. I believe this is the seventh or eighth committee in the House to hear this bill. We've had excellent discussion as we've moved through committee. 31 states and Canada have now legalized sports betting, including all of the states that neighbor Minnesota. This is an idea whose time has come. My bill legalizes both brick and mortar sports betting and mobile sports betting. To put that in plain terms, that means that if this bill passes, Minnesotans will be able to travel to a brick-and-mortar sports betting lounge at any one of our tribal casinos, but they'll also be able to wager on sports through apps on their smartphones. It's worth noting that sports betting is already occurring in Minnesota right now, including mobile sports betting. It is very easy for any Minnesotan who wants to bet on sports in Minnesota. They're just doing it illegally through shady websites and digital workarounds. As my colleague and co-author, Representative Garofalo, often says, what this bill is about is displacing a black market with a regulated legal market. And ensuring that we have protections for consumers and honestly deal with the very real side effects of gaming that we know are big factors. You know, most people can gamble responsibly as an amusement or a hobby, but for a small subset of people, it is a real problem, and it can destroy lives. I've seen it in my day job as a prosecutor, seen people make terrible decisions. But we, instead of just trying to legislate out of that and say by fiat it's not legal and that's the way we'll solve the problem, we're trying to deal with it honestly. 50% of the tax revenue after accounting for regulation would go to problem gaming. That is by far the most money spent by any state on this issue. I take it really seriously, and the advocates who work in problem gaming can tell you that we've incorporated every suggestion that they've ever made into the bill. So the bill is, as I mentioned, from a fiscal perspective, entirely self-supporting. The tax revenue generated and the licensing fees, which I should note would be among the lowest in the country, both the tax rate and the licensing fees. And we did that because we're trying to displace a black market, but are sufficient to cover not just the regulatory costs, not just that problem gaming aspect, but we use the last of it to support youth sports with an emphasis on communities that are experiencing high levels of juvenile crime because we know that when kids are involved in programming and playing sports, they're not getting into other trouble. And juvenile crime is a horrific problem across the state at the moment. Happy to answer any questions, and I look forward to the discussion here in the last committee stop.
All right. Well, members, for your reference, a fiscal tracking sheet was provided by our House fiscal staff. Looks like it has an impact on special revenue funds, and there's no general fund impact. I think before that, we have one other amendment that was pre-filed on this bill. Representative Miller, would you like to move your A11 amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A11 amendment for consideration onto this bill.
Okay. Chair Stevenson, any guidance on this?
I don't know if Representative Miller wants
I'd like to
explain them.
Would you like to speak to your bill? Please speak to
it.
Please explain.
I'd like to already tell us to vote it down. So, Madam Chair, we did hear this bill in taxes. I know it changed a little bit. I actually kind of like the change. At least it brings it a little bit more in line. But in tax committee and now here in this committee, I heard as well, I heard the purpose of this bill is to stop shady websites, digital workarounds, and the black market, and have a legalized, regulated market. Now, in past vices that we've addressed and current ones on this one, I think we're going to be hearing within the next couple of years something with marijuana, similar argument. And maybe long past I'm here, I hope this never happens, but we might even hear something on things like prostitution and stuff. We need to regulate and tax it to make it legal, okay? Mm-hmm. I was told in tax committee, we don't need to tax this, but we're going to, okay? And so in this, I hear, well, we're going to tax it so that we can pay for all the problems that come out of this. But then I'm told, well, this isn't about taxes. This is about getting rid of a black market, a shady website, and digital workarounds. Well, then we can take the tax out of it. So all my amendment does is just say, go ahead and move forward with what you want to do with this. But in a year with the surplus that we have, the last thing we need to do is to have another tax increase on something under the argument of everyone's doing it anyway. So I ask for people's support in this.
All right. Chair Stevenson.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Miller, I understand where you're coming from. I am going to ask members to vote no. I'm glad you liked the amendment that I put on the bill. This would undo it because the amendment I did before made the bill self-sufficient. Now everything we need to pay for would have to be paid for out of the general fund. You know, I do want taxes low because a primary purpose of this is to defeat the black market. Another primary purpose of this bill is to be honest about what's happening in Minnesota and address it honestly. You know, as I mentioned, we have a huge black market in Minnesota. $2 billion in Minnesota every year is spent on this. And none of that money goes to problem gaming. It doesn't mean that people don't have a problem with gaming. They do, under our current system. So we need to be honest that this is a real problem that needs to be addressed. This bill addresses it. The status quo doesn't. And your bill would delete the funding for that, essentially, and force us to pay it, or your amendment would. So I would ask members to vote no on the amendment, but I understand the point.
Madam Chair, one brief comment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will keep this to the purview of this committee on this. I'll anxiously discuss this further on the House floor about this this black market that is out there clouding the state of Minnesota. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Just, Madam Chair, members, if I can state my opposition to the amendment, this would have the unintended consequence of actually subsidizing, legalizing sports gambling with this amendment. I don't think that's what the author intended to do, but that's what it would do. It would actually subsidize the creation of this market. It's the opposite of what we want to do. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions to the 811 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay.
No.
So the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. So House File 778 is amended before us. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this question is to my twin. Thank you for that. just actually 30 minutes before the meeting at 8:30 this morning, I got a call from my constituent asking about something that I just need some more information on. He talked about barrel printing for raffles in regards to gaming, in which the process of printing first the tickets that you sell and then another set of tickets to go into a barrel to pick the winner versus random generation. And he thought it was going to be in this bill or moving forward. I quickly then tried to find it. I didn't see it in here. I didn't see it originally. I didn't remember. Is it in here or is that something traveling separately?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Brother Peterson, I don't, there's nothing in the bill about barrel printing of raffles. I haven't actually, I will be candid, I hadn't heard that issue before, so it's not, when you ask is it traveling elsewhere, if it is, it's traveling without my knowledge. It's not in this bill. This bill only, there's no other gambling policy in this bill other than sports betting.
Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Brother Stevenson. as well, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, briefly, all it does is they said random generation would save lots of money and so forth, and he thought it was moving along, and if it's not, that's fine. We'll follow up later. Thank you for that follow-up.
All right, thank you. Seeing no further questions, Vice Chair Olson renews her motion.
Chair,
is there a question? Oh, okay. So Vice Chair Olson renews a motion that House File 778, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register. Ms. Anna, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Aye.
Chair Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker-Finn.
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas, excused. Representative Hornstein, excused. Representative Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreshaw, excused. Representative Liebling?
Pass.
Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani, excused. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
No.
Miller, no. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor? Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski, no.
Pulaski, no. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Representative Noor?
Excused.
Noor, excused. Madam Chair, that is 14 ayes and 7 nays.
There have been 14 ayes and 7 nays. The motion prevails in House File 778 as amended. It's recommended for placement on the general register. So remember, our last bill, before we go back to 3768, is House File 2767, the Omnibus Liquor Bill. The bill came to us from the Commerce Committee. Vice Chair Olson, please move the bill and the author amendment for the author.
I move that House File 2767 be recommended for placement on the general register, and I also move the H2767A13 amendment.
Thank you, Vice Chair Olson. Chair Stevenson, can you please explain the A13 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is the Omnibus Liquor Bill. This amendment has several provisions in it. To begin with, there's some language that reflects a additional agreement between craft distillers and the wholesalers related to cocktail rooms to ensure some guardrails around that provision. We do have an appropriation that you can find on page 4. This reflects the fiscal note related to the direct wine shipping and adds money and staff to administer that program to AGED. Then there are, two local projects that were not considered by the Commerce Committee until after this bill left the Commerce Committee, one related to a social district in Anoka and one related to a softball complex in Rochester.
Okay. Are there any questions on the 813 amendment? Seeing no further questions, the 813 amendment is before us. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So House File 2767 as amended is before us. Please tell us about your bill with a focus on the fiscal impact.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as I mentioned, this is the Omnibus Liquor Bill. It reflects a long set of compromise discussions that have been occurring over the last year to try and modernize Minnesota's liquor laws, particular emphasis on craft distillers and craft brewers, while maintaining the important consumer protections and safety protections that are in Minnesota's liquor laws. And it has been a difficult balance to strike. It is a compromise. I don't know of anyone who is thrilled with it, except for that I am thrilled that we have completed it. But that's the nature of compromise. Everyone gets a little something. No one is exactly very happy with it. From a fiscal, I won't go through all of the various provisions in the bill, just to say that I think there's some very good and important changes here that will allow Minnesotans to more thoroughly enjoy the craft spirits and beer that they love. From a fiscal perspective, there's two appropriations in the bill two different appropriations to AGED. I mentioned the one that we added by amendment that relates to direct shipping of wine. The other is just a general addition of two inspectors. AGED is already understaffed, and this bill, as I mentioned, expands the amount of craft opportunities for craft brewers and distillers, and so it makes sense to increase their staffing to accomplish that. There's also an appropriation to the Department of Revenue to handle the tax consequences of the direct wine shipping bill, but the total cost to the general fund in this biennium is less than $1 million.
All right, thank you. Members, for your reference, this bill is also being tracked in the other bills category that was in the budget resolution. Is that correct, Ms. Adrian?
Yes, Madam Chair. The funding for this bill has been accounted for.
Okay, so let's move on to the other amendments. Representative Nash, you submitted three amendments to this bill. Unless you have a preference, can we start with the A15?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll just move numerically, and I believe these are friendly amendments, so I will not be roll calling them. The chair put into his bill a kind of a council of people who are representing the different parts of the three-tier system. And after I spoke with some of my folks and some other members, they brought forward a desire for farm wineries to be reflected on that council. So I would move the A15 amendment to include farm wineries in that as well.
All right, thank you. Chair Stevenson.
Representative Nash is correct. This is a friendly amendment. I'd ask for a yes vote.
Okay, any questions or comments on the A15? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Nash, would you like to move to the A16?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A16, and this puts a seat on that group for a food retailer or a convenience store so that the discussion can be become a robust one and have representation of people who've got a vested interest in this. So once again, friendly amendment, and I move the A16.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash is correct. Friendly amendment. Ask for a yes vote.
All right. Any questions to the A16? Okay, seeing no questions to the A16. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Oh, I'm sorry, we do have a question. Representative Sundin.
Oh, my hand's not up. That was an aye vote.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Nash, we'd like to move on to the A17.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A17 is an amendment to put one last member on there, and it is to allow for equal numbers and put somebody from the wholesaler group on there so that numbers are in equal and we achieve parity. Once again, in speaking with the Chair, this is a friendly amendment, so I will not be roll calling it.
Chair Stevenson.
Yes, Madam Chair, and Representative Nash is once again correct. It is a friendly amendment. There is one thing I just want to put on the record here. On line 1.2 of this amendment, it changes 9 to 10. That's the whole council moves from 9 to 10 if we adopted just this amendment, but mm-hmm. we've adopted two others. So it should be from 9 to 12. I spoke to Mr. Klayman from House Research in the audience while we were considering other bills. About whether we need to do an oral amendment. He communicated with the reviser's office, and it's understood that the reviser can make that as a technical correction as they're preparing the committee report. That, I just want, should be probably the intent of the committee that it should be 12, not 10, since we've adopted all three of these, or you've adopted, hopefully, all three of these amendments.
Yep.
And Madam Chair, that was going to be my request at the conclusion that we direct staff to make the numerical corrections so that we don't have 10 at every tier, because too many cooks in the kitchen then become problematic. But yes, that is correct.
Okay, so we have that technical correction from 10 to 12. Thank you. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was my question.
To the A17. Okay, great. Okay, seeing no further questions, the A17 amendment is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Great job. So Member House File 2767, as amended, is before us. Any questions of the author? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. More of a comment. Mr. Chair, as you know, I have provisions in this, and then provisions are in this bill that I authored some even before you got here. I want members to understand, and Representative Olson will back me up on this, this has been a long, long process. Mm-hmm. And we are at an incredibly notable place right now, because not only I've carried the liquor bill before and all these provisions were in it before, but we now have buy-in from all the interested parties. And Representative Olson and I tried that and were oftentimes deflected for mysterious and unknown reasons, sometimes just, well, we don't feel like it, but we are now there. So we have members of the three-tier system in agreement that this is the bill that we should be moving forward. It is a compromise, members. That is an incredible thing to be looking at, because, you know, as much as I don't want to talk about IT issues in the future down the road, to not have to talk about changing our archaic liquor laws allows me to go find another hobby legislatively. This is something that if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I have crisscrossed this state doing videos about freeing the growler and videos about distillers needing help and craft beverage manufacturers needing help. Well, help has arrived. And I am pleased to be a part of this because the chair has actually allowed me to assist. This is great. This is what people expect of us here when they send us down here, because when you talk to people back in the district or across the state, they don't understand why they can't do something as simple as buy a growler at some breweries but not others, or why they can't buy a large bottle of liquor at a distillery because the forces that be previously have said, no, we don't get to do that. And I'm pleased that we are now addressing the 3-2 town team issue, because last year was a bad year for town team and beer at the state tournaments. This is a good bill, and I fully support it, and I think Vice Chair Olson would as well. This is phenomenal work. We just have to pray that other mysterious body does their job as well, because the admonition has always been bring a bill that has the consensus of all the stakeholders out there, and the Senate would move it. Well, here you go. This is it. So, members, I think this is a good bill. This is a good piece of compromise. I've been a part of conversations. We've talked with all the different interested parties. Sometimes we have to go back and forth several times and revisit things because tempers run hot, but this is a good bill. Mm. Please vote yes. I will be. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Moran, Representative Stevenson, thank you for this bill. I have a tough time with alcohol bills, and as a brother who's a alcoholic and has major health issues because of it, working as a deputy sheriff, cleaning up the fatal DWI crashes, going to the thousands of domestic over my career where I can count on one finger that where alcohol was not involved. So I have a tough time with any alcohol onto this bill. There's one issue that I was concerned about in this bill, and I want to make sure that it's in it. There was recently a lawsuit dealing with the distributors, where if we don't fix that, each particular brand can have their own, trying to think of a word for it, but there's just one single provider across the state. And where it's happened in other states, it's skyrocketed the cost of alcohol. Is that fixed in this bill, Representative Stevenson?
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Johnson, it is. That's the Coleman Act fixed. It is a very important issue. I agree with your analysis, and I'm just paging through the bill so I can direct you to it, but it is in here, yes.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Moran, Representative Stevens, thank you for getting that fixed. That was an issue that I did have a number of people come in to contact me about. And I do understand some of these softball complexes with the tournaments and stuff they have, they'd like to have that liquor license. But I'd like to see a little more guardrails around it when there's youth softball tournaments, no alcohol sales, and things like that, something to look at or consider down the road. But I think overall it's a fair bill, but because of the situation I have, I cannot support it.
All right. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. Seems like the only emails I get from people back home is, how come we can't have other than 3-2 beer in convenience stores? And it seems like that's the issue. And I think we're the only state that only allows 3-2 beer in convenience stores. Has that been resolved in this bill? Because I don't remember seeing it in the bill anywhere.
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Petersburg. No, that issue is not resolved by this bill. Representative Nash kind of gave you the reason why. It's because we had to reach consensus. And so there just is not going to be consensus on that issue anytime soon.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was the question I was going to ask. Okay. Big for my community. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, any closing comments?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nash. I've enjoyed working with you on this bill. Look forward to continuing working with you and other members. Representative O'Driscoll has also been very involved from the Minority Caucus, and of course, Vice Chair Olson on this committee has been a great partner on it. So this has been a real collaborative, bipartisan effort that reaches compromise. I think Representative Nash said, well, this is what people want us to do at the legislature, so I ask for your yes vote on the bill.
All right. I have no doubt, Representative Nash and Olson, the work that you've done so diligently before this is why we're here at this moment. So thank you for your work on this. So Vice Chair Olson renews her motion that House File 2767 as amended be recommended for placement on a general register. Ms. Anna, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hassan. Representative Hertas, excused. Representative Hornstein, excused. Representative Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Representative Preshaw, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani, excused. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller, excused. Representative Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr, excused. Representative O'Neill?
I'm here. Aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, aye.
Pulaski, aye. Representative Petersburg.
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto.
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz.
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. And Representative Hassan. Madam Chair, that is 18 ayes and 2 nays.
There have been 18 ayes and 2 nays. The motion prevails. House File 2767, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. Thank you, Chair Stevenson.
Thank you.
We can get Representative Cagle back. So let me just open up by just saying I just want to thank members. I want to thank you for your patience to get a fiscal note before us that you can see. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I always knew my skills as a page would come in handy. So,
Representative Nash, any comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm looking at the fiscal note. And, you know, we can argue, does it take 40, 80 hours? But it does show what is being requested. Maybe one day we can make programming more efficient at various departments, but I do see it, so thank you. And to the chair, I'm not trying to be preachy about this, but process matters.
Yep.
And if we're going to be a fiscal committee, then we should have a fiscal note before we even pick up the bill. It should be tucked in a packet, or we should just hold it back until such time. So thank you.
Yep, thank you. So seeing no further discussion, any closing comments?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you so much for hearing this bill. I kind of jokingly called this "I just cut my fingers off" bill, and now I need to get now I need a lot of work. I need to distract myself. So this was the first bill that I I'm glad I can make Representative Garofalo laugh.
Do people not get the joke?
But it was one of the bills that I'm really proud of the work that we did on this. It was advocates from across the spectrum, the industry, and this is a big deal. And so I think we should be really proud of this work. I just want to thank all the advocates that were there with me since October working on this. And so I think this will help a lot of people. Thanks.
Thank you for your work. So Vice Chair Olson renews her motion that House File 3768, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register. Ms. Anna, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright.
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hassan. Representative Hertas excused. Representative Hornstein excused. Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Johnson, aye. Representative Kreshaw excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Oh, Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani excused. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller excused. Representative Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr excused. Representative O'Neill?
Aye.
O'Neill, aye. Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski, aye.
Pulaski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott excused. Representative Sundin?
Sundin, aye.
Sundin, aye. Representative Hassan? And Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Madam Chair, that is 20 ayes and no nays.
Well, there have been 20 ayes and zero nays. Congratulations, Representative Cagle. The motion prevails. House File 3768, as amended, is recommended for placement on the General Register.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. So it's been, there's a preliminary agreement that's been released on the preventing the unemployment insurance tax increase as well as the frontline worker bonuses. Do you anticipate having any hearings on that agreement, or are we just going to let the conference committee?
You know, that's something to think about.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
So, members, that completes our work for today. This has been a very full week, and I want to thank you all for your patience, for your time, for your commitment to the work that we do here. So we don't have a next meeting scheduled yet, so please watch your email for any additional meeting. This hearing is adjourned.